You're listening to another wrestling episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns, featuring your guy, Bully Rye, and PJ Steven, presented by Anchor Podcasts.
That's right, everybody. It's another wrestling episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. As always, it's your guy, Bully Rye. And in order to do our wrestling shows, we can't do them without our co-host, PJ Steven. PJ, what's up, bud?
Oh, man, it's another wonderful night. I've been working on my garage, trying to get some stuff up, get some nice, you know, all my little collectibles, my toys and all that mess up. And I'm ready to talk about some 97 WWF, which is what I love to talk about. This is, what are we on, part six? I'm not keeping up. Is it part six?
Yeah, we're at part six. We're not, listen, to be clear, we're recording this episode the day after we recorded our all-in review. So we don't know when this episode is going to go live, but that's when we have recorded the show. So we are on part six of PJ Stevens, PJ's Time Machine, where we're going back and looking at WWF from 1997. And this episode, we're going to go August to September because a lot happens in this time frame. Hopefully you're enjoying this series. And we're gonna get another big chunk of it because a lot of really fun stuff is coming here in 1997. So without further ado, PJ, I'm gonna let you take it away.
Well, you know, the last episode we talked about SummerSlam. That was the big thing that we wanted to get to. So just a small recap. Obviously, you had the terrible injury with Austin to in the Intercontinental title match with Owen Hart. Horrible neck injury. We talked about that the last episode, part five. And as we also talked about, we got a new feud coming up here with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. Because Bret Hart is now your new champion. And Shawn Michaels kind of cost Undertaker the belt here. If you can remember, Shawn Michaels hits Taker with a chair when he tries to hit Bret Hart. Bret Hart covers him, and we get the 1-2-3. And it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
That SummerSlam pay-per-view, SummerSlam 97, like even going back and rewatching it, I think it's still one of my all-time favorite pay-per-views that I've ever watched. You know, obviously I'm partial because it was the first one I ever got to watch live, but what a fun show and a fun end to the show.
Oh, I love SummerSlam 97. SummerSlam 97 was a big reason I wanted to talk about 97 because that's a big turning point. In that year of WWF. But let's skip ahead here because we're going to get to the Monday Night Raw right after SummerSlam. We're literally going right down here, which is great. After SummerSlam, we are in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which is great. We're going to have Ken Shamrock defeating Kamo Mustafa, Taka Mijinoku taking on Brian Christopher. We got a lot of other preliminary matches up there, but the thing I want to get to is the thing that to me is most important, and that's Shawn Michaels coming out doing a promo here. Well, we start the show off with the Hart Foundation, and they're talking about how, you know, you congratulate your new champion and all this noise, saying that, you know, end of story, whatever. Bret's finally going to let Owen Hart talk. Owen Hart says that he made a huge mistake by showing Steve Austin compassion last night. He continues on to say that Austin may have stolen his Intercontinental champion, but made sure that Austin would never wrestle again. Owen is going to call Austin a crippled freak here, and he's going to order him to forfeit the IC belt. And then JR is going to come in. And, of course, you're getting ready. You're getting there. I can feel your finger about to hit that button to put this headline up here because JR is going to introduce a new commissioner. And it is, yes, there he is. Sergeant Slaughter is your new WWF commissioner. And I think that this was a good role for him, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Sergeant Slaughter, he had a phenomenal wrestling career. You know, he was billed as ex-military, you know, so having him come in and do the disciplinary, you know, act here as the commissioner is fantastic. You know, he's billed from, I believe, not Paris Island. I think that's where Lacey Evans is billed out of. But he's billed out of I think, Fort Sumter, South Carolina.
I think it was South Carolina. Yeah, it was Fort Sumter. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I really enjoyed Sergeant Slaughter here in the role as commissioner for the time that he played it.
Well, Sarge is going to tell Bret Hart there's a new sheriff in town, and he announces that Bret Hart's going to defend the WWF title against The Undertaker. No, not The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels, probably not. It's going to be your boy, the Patriot.
Yeah, let's go! Dale Wilkes, baby.
As for Bulldog, he's going to face Ken Shamrock again for the European title. We don't know when. He just says soon. not the best opening promo for the new commish here, but it's still fun. We're going to get an HBK promo, and Taker's going to come out. And that's when we're going to get Paul Bearer on the screen there, where he's going to say, Kane is coming. Kane is on his way to you, Undertaker, and you're going to burn in hell.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that you didn't use the Paul Bearer voice. I'm just going
to be I'm sorry. You want to do it?
No, you listen. Go ahead.
Kane is coming, Undertaker. You are going to burn in hell.
That's better. I appreciate it. Yeah.
That's what I'm here for you. I'm here for you.
You're here to entertain the masses.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Dude Love is going to take on Owen Hart, as I mentioned. And that match, it's 10 minutes. It's a 10-minute match. It's not too bad. Brett's going to do a run-in. He's going to run Dude to a ring spot. He's going to place him in the ring. Owen Hart's going to lock in the sharpshooter. Here comes Stone Cold. He's going to grab a slammy trophy off the table and tries to start an issue between him and Brett while the refs and agents and Slaughter are trying to stop it. Austin's going to knock Owen Hart right in the head with a slammy, and that's when old Tim White's going to jump in the ring for a count for the 1-2-3. Dude Love gets the win over Owen Hart. And it was very rushed, but it was still fun, and not a great match, but it was still fun. And then here come the women from the front row in, and they're going to come molest to Dude Love in the corner. Very nice.
Hey, let me ask you a question of Owen Hart's gimmicks, and I'm not talking Blue Blazer. I'm talking the King of Hearts. I'm talking the 2-time Slammy Award winner. Like, what was your favorite that he would come out and profess as, like, it was that generation's I'm the God of Pro Wrestling. Was it I'm the King of Hearts, I beat my brother, or was it I'm the 2-time Slammy Award winner, and the fact that he would bring his Slammys to the ring with him every day?
I think the King of Hearts, although I understood why they did the Slammy, because it's easy heel heat. But I love the King of Hearts, and I love him defeating his brother. I like that a lot. I just wish he would have got a World Heavyweight title at the time.
Yeah, I mean, again, going back, hindsight being 2020. I think we all would have liked to have seen a world title run with Owen Hart at this point, but I digress.
I want to mention something that I forgot to mention. It's later on in my notes that I put it up. Going back to Paul Bearer coming out to tell Taker that Kane's coming here. HBK is doing a promo. He gets interrupted with the gong. That's what I was saying earlier. And he's going to come out. He comes out and cuts a promo. He says, I'm just ready to do what he does best, taking souls and making people rest in peace, starting with you, Shawn Michaels. As he turns away to leave, that's when Paul Bearer comes on with the Titantron. I want to mention that Paul Bearer finds it ironic that Taker would be looking to punish someone else for their crimes when Taker has never been punished for his own crime of murdering his parents. Wow, we're really digging, aren't we, Frick? We are digging in 1997. You go ahead and call Paul a big fat liar, but Kane is coming. And the thing I wanted to mention is, as Taker looks quite confused, the lights are normally blue for him, have now turned blood red. And there's a lot of foreshadowing here. We're going to get a lot of fire coming up here, as we talked about in the pay-per-view with him and Mankind, where he fails the burning thing. He burns Paul Bearer. Anyway, it's fun stuff here. We're going to skip ahead to August 11th, the next Monday Night Raw. August 11th is going to have matches like Hawk defeating Henry O. Godwin, Flash Funk defeating Brian Pillman in a really, really terrific match. You're also going to have your boy, the Patriot, teaming up with Ken Shamrock, who's going to take on Owen Hart and British Bulldog. More on that later. The August 11th Monday Night Raw starts off with another promo. That's how they used to start these Raws. I mean, you have a big promo in the ring. JR is going to meet Shawn Michaels in the ring to kick off the show, and He's still upset that the WWF brass are still blaming him for Undertaker's title loss, and he thinks that he's, you know, he thinks that he's innocent. He's also pissed he had to find out that he's facing Mankind tonight on Monday Night Raw. And while he was sitting home watching WWF Superstars instead of getting a phone call from that Nimrod Vince McMahon. We're really foreshadowing that Vince McMahon's the owner here, are we not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's still hard to believe that in 97, Vince McMahon was still on commentary. And he was a great commentator, which is crazy.
I love him on commentary. I really do.
But yeah, they're really sort of like trying to blur the lines here. Which for all intents and purposes is fantastic. But you know, you talk about the guy that's paying the bills. That was Vince McMahon. You talk about somebody else who's paying the bills, PJ. Yeah, that's my friend over at Carolina Business Equipment with offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence. Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend, Aaron Thompson, at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell them that Ryan from Tap House and Touchdown sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology. I know you like the way that I transitioned into that.
You know what? I typed it into the little chat that we're in, like brilliant segue, but I'm just going to say that was a brilliant segue. Was it where it was supposed to be? We talked about where the...
Yeah, it works. I made it work.
You liked it. So, yeah, but I wanted to say, like, you know, do you think Michaels was kind of shooting right there? You know, like I was sitting at home watching WWE Superstars and they announced that I'll be facing Mankind. And I think he was kind of shooting there. He seemed a little pissed off.
Yeah, listen, I think, again, we talked about this already as far as how Shawn Michaels was to work with back then. It's very, very well documented that he was abusing substances.
Yeah.
He had heavy influence backstage. But you know, we questioned it on this show if he was really injured or if he just didn't want to drop the title to Bret Hart. So you wonder, yeah, if it's a shoot, but you also wonder like if it was just Sean finding a way to come on TV and complain about something else. Like that's what were my takeaway from this was.
Yeah, you're probably right. Honestly, you're probably right. Let's talk a little bit about more of this promo before we move on here. A Sean is gay chant starts to come out. I just want to mention this real quick. It's fun. Sean is gay chants begin. That actually stops Michael's promo. So Sean is going to tell the guy who's the loudest to ask his mama and his sister if he's gay. Oh, zing.
What a time to be alive, PJ. Like, this would never go over today.
No, I mean, like, yeah, it would not. You would have someone in that crowd being like, why are you chanting that? Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, we can't do that in 2023.
Sean got like, a lot of gay chants. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
It was because he was flamboyant.
Yeah, which is a recipient of a lot of, like, you know, people calling him gay and all that.
Let's talk about this for a second, because they had a promo where Jerry Lawler called Goldust the F word for gay people.
Yeah. They did. They also had a promo where he says, you know, Goldust is here, he's queer, and get used to it.
Yeah, so like there's a lot of things that like
tell me again how WWF wasn't trying to make him gay.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but like it's weird to think about almost 20 years ago. The change in the culture, because like, again, so one of those things, and I'm not trying to get on a political conversation here because that's not what we're here to talk about, but like I took a class in college that eventually became curriculum. It was an elective at the time. But it was basically a class about masculinity. Let's just say that. And it was like, have you ever been hanging out with your friends and you said, man, that's so gay. Like, why did you say that's so gay? Because it has a bad connotation. Like what is being, you know, why is being gay being stupid or being bad or whatever the case was? So that when I was in college, that sort of helped illustrate what, again, in 1997, this is 8 years before I went to college, that was something that we were seeing on TV week in and week out. Like, you're getting Shauna's gay chance. You've got Goldust making out with Ahmed Johnson, you know, trying to give him quote unquote mouth to mouth. And it's just, it's crazy to think how, I mean, again, I was a kid, so I didn't think about it, but how sort of accepted this sort of behavior and this sort of a narrative was back then. And yeah, it's crazy how if a chant tried to break out like this in a wrestling show now, you would have to have the person running the show come out of the back during a commercial break and be like, hey, you guys can't do that. You're going to get us thrown off the air. Like, shut up, or we'll turn the mics down in the crowd so nobody will hear you.
Exactly.
So just,
I agree.
Weird, wild stuff, man. Just wild, weird, wild stuff, as Johnny Carson would say.
I haven't heard that in a while, yeah. Sean is also going to use some Scott Steiner-like logic here. To prove to everyone that he can beat The Undertaker even though they never wrestled, because Bret Hart defeated The Undertaker at SummerSlam, and Shawn beat Bret back in WrestleMania 12. So, you know, that proves it. Shawn is also going to talk about being the outlaw of the WWF, and he thinks the powers...
Go ahead. He didn't call anybody fat.
The Undertaker's fat!
He
didn't call anyone fat, and he didn't use bad... Actually, the math makes sense.
I was just
gonna call it bad math, but it's not. It's
math. It's great math, and it's just weird how Scott Steiner, Michigan accent, is giving somebody like a legitimate like statistical math problem in a promo. Just so fantastic. We could do a whole show about that promo. What good stuff.
So Sean is going to call out Sergeant Slaughter in a way, saying the powers that be have it out for him. And here comes the Sarge. Sarge is in his face, and Sean's going to act surprised that he's getting spit on, as, you know, Slaughter talks sometimes. That's going to be a DX promo in a couple months, actually. We'll get to there. As for his match tonight with Mankind, Sean needs to put up or shut up and do something about it, whatever that means. Sean's also going to respond to Sarge's comments by telling him, don't worry, I've got myself an insurance policy. And we're going to find out who that is later on tonight. The insurance policy, I want to mention, a lot of people were thinking that it was going to be Diesel or even the fake Diesel, because that's what Sean would call Diesel when they were a tag team, when he was his bodyguard. He was the insurance policy. Let's move on here. I do want to talk about the opening match here being a country a country whipping match between, as I had told earlier,
this –
Hawk and O'Henry Godwin. What's your favorite country whipping match?
This scream. You know what this screams?
WCW?
It's not just WCW. It screams Vince Russo.
Oh, yeah.
This screams Vince Russo.
Yeah.
Country whipping match. Henry O. Godwin versus Road Warrior Hawk in a country whipping match. Yeah, okay. Whoa. Thanks, bro. Russo.
Yeah.
This is good, bro. They'll eat this up, bro.
We're gonna get a promo for the big house show that's planned in the Fleet Center. We're gonna get a big promo that's coming for Rollins Wars coming to Madison Square Garden on September 22nd. We'll get to that either this show or next, probably next show. Backstage, we're gonna get a Undertaker promo that says that he promises Shawn Michaels will rest in peace at Ground Zero. So, guys, it is official. At Ground Zero, it will be Undertaker taking on Shawn Michaels. Fun stuff. So before we get to our main event, we have a Nation of Domination match. We're here for Root taking on Chains. Not sure why he just wouldn't take on, you know, I guess Chains was the leader of DOA, wasn't it?
It was Crush. That's right. Chains was a fake taker.
Brian Adams in WCW.
No, Brian Adams was Crush. Chains.
Oh, that's right.
Chains was fake Undertaker from the Taker match at SummerSlam, I think 94. But
I thought Brian Adams was a fake Taker too.
No, that was Chains, man. That was Chains.
Chains
of the DOA.
Brian Lee. Brian Lee.
Brian Lee. That's it.
That's why I got him confused, because Brian Adams, Brian Lee. Sorry. Okay. let's get back on track here from DOA. Nation of Domination DOA members are banned from ringside thanks to Commissioner Slaughter. That's probably not going to happen, but whatever. Ahmed Johnson is absent tonight after being excommunicated by the other Nation of Domination. So you remember we talked about wanting to make the Nation bigger and blacker, and then they put Ahmed in after Ahmed had feud with them for several months. Now Ahmed is out of the Nation of Domination again, but that's okay because you get a new member. The match is very unimportant. Here comes Rocky Maivia making his quiet return to Raw. He acts all goody two shoes in the ring, and he plants chains with a rock bottom. The
ref's first time he's hit this move, right?
Yep, correct. Yep. The ref's going to wake up and count the pinfall. Farouk has now traded Rocky to get rid of Ahmed. After the break, we're going to catch up with Rocky Maivia, meeting up with Farouk and the other Nation of Domination members, and they kick the cameraman out of the locker room. There's a lot of yelling. Yeah, we know what happens. The Rock is going to join the Nation of Domination. So now let's go over real quick. Let's recap. Your members are D'Lo Brown, Kama Mustafa, Rocky Maivia, and still your leader, Farouk. Was this the right move for The Rock?
So first of all, yes. It would turn out to be the right move for The Rock, not the right move for Ron Simmons, to be clear. However, if you've never watched Young Rock that was canceled, it was a show on NBC and Peacock. It was a loose biographical show about Dwayne Johnson's life. In his final season, we got to this The Rock joining the Nation on Young Rock. And I forgot what he called him, but Dwayne Johnson was telling his story and talking about how a guy threw him under the bus and basically went to Vince and told him he wasn't ready. He originally thought that it was Triple H. Mm-hmm. And so he went to Triple H in the locker room, confronted Triple H, and he's like, "Hey man, I'm not the guy. Like I you know, whatever, like, yeah, I say things, I'm abrasive, whatever the case is. I'm not the guy that threw you under the bus." It was Ahmed Johnson.
Ah, interesting.
Ahmed Johnson would not be named on The Rock's show. The guy that dressed up, because they were talking, he was talking about through his story about this guy, and you'd have to go watch Young Rock to figure it out, but he was basically me asked, "Why have I never heard about this guy?" "Oh, you'll know." And so as it goes on, because the guy doesn't look like Ahmed Johnson, he doesn't dress like Ahmed Johnson, but The Rock talked about him being one of the biggest stars in the company, and how he tried to hold The Rock down by telling Vince that he wasn't ready. He was immature. And basically, like, the pseudonym that he gave him on Young Rock was intentional to sort of, again, not give credit to Ahmed Johnson for being the star that he was, but to say, "Listen, I have no respect for this guy. He went behind my back. He tried to hold me down because he wanted that spot." And, you know, next thing you know, Ahmed Johnson injured, out of the Nation. The Rock takes his spot, and The Rock becomes one of the biggest stars in the world of professional wrestling and entertainment, for that matter, has ever seen. And Ahmed Johnson's fat, as Scott Steiner was saying.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, we're just going to pretend that we don't know The Rock becomes the biggest star in the world. Come on.
But how? By being in the Nation?
We're not getting there yet.
Okay, like, thank you. That's all
we're
I want to
not,
hear.
We're not getting there yet.
I will say that I like this role for Ron Simmons should have been a bigger star in WWF, but I like this spot for him, honestly. He's putting over talent. It reminds me of Triple H Revolution kind of thing. You know, I like that. But I digress. Now let's get to the main event here with Shawn Michaels and Mankind. This match is really well done. It only goes about 8 minutes, but it's still, you know, these guys had a fantastic match at Mind Games maybe a year ago. I think that was maybe 95. Ooh, excuse me. So Mankind's going to find up a sleeper hold, and he's going to beat Shawn down in the corner and send it for the running knee, and he pulls some hair out of his head. And we get the insurance policy who walks down, and it is Rick Rude, who just left ECW, And JR is going to assume that Rick Rude is the insurance policy that Shawn Michaels was talking about. Mankind's going to hit the double arm DDT for a 1-2 and a kick out while China has the ref. And Triple H trips up Mankind to a chair shot Triple H is going to trip Mankind into a chair shot to the skull by Rick Rude. Mankind's going to turn around, and he's waiting. He's got some sweet shim music waiting for him. 1-2-3. It was quite the shocker for a lot of fans, but mostly ECW fans, because he was just on ECW, and he hadn't been on Nationwide TV for about 3 years. So good stuff there. I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was fun. But you just get more connection into this will be one of the greatest groups, maybe not in hindsight, but at that time, one of the greatest groups of WWF history. And of course, that's D-Generation X. So they're not called that yet, but that's what you got right there with Triple H, China, Shawn Michaels, and then, of course, now Rick Rude. Let's move on here. We're going to move on to the next Raw. Right after that, we're getting closer to Ground Zero, folks, and we're also getting closer to Friday night's main event that will happen both in Chicago. Rollins War 18th. That's right. We're going to go to August 18th here, where right off the rip, we're going to get a promo with Rick Rude. Rick Rude's going to come out, cut a promo. He's going to do the classic, what I'd like to have right now, which is fantastic. I mean, the crowd really popped for that. Vince wants to know who paid the premium, but Rick feels that it's none of his business. Rude offers Vince some insurance, since it seems he might need some. You have no idea, Rick Rude. I literally wrote, you have no idea. Vince thinks Rude is talking about a protection, like Rude is some sort of gangster. All Rude is going to say is, if you pay the premium price, somebody will get a Rude awakening. Hit the music. So we get a promo by Rick Rude here. Where do you rank Rick Rude as far as, like, on the mic? He's a fantastic wrestler. He always was. He had the look. He had the style. Where do you put him on promos?
It's hard, that's what she said, to figure out where to put him up there. Because listen.
Listen to you.
Rick Rude was a phenomenal talent. I unfortunately did not get the pleasure of getting to watch him while he was still a wrestler. My real introduction to Rick Rude, which we'll get there, that happens, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it happens later in this year.
Yeah.
My introduction was when, you know, he jumped ship, and he's basically the best friend of Kurt Hennig. And he's still doing the beatdowns. He just can't take bumps anymore. But as far as, like, he was quick-witted, and his gimmick was like the slender, the cut and chiseled guy that, you know, he had the nerve to put Miss Elizabeth's face on his tights in his feud with Randy Savage. Just in a way, he was ahead of his time. Now, we haven't gotten there yet, and I don't want to keep talking about stuff we haven't gotten to yet. I don't think the role they're putting him into in this run with WWE fit Rick Rude. But as far as his mic skills go, man, he was quick-witted, and he knew what he was doing, and that's really all I got to say. But you know what else who knows what they're doing, PJ? Is my guy Zach over at One Stop Repairs. Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9-star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call Zach for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's number one, One Stop Repairs. I actually might be getting him to put a new battery in my iPhone coming up. But I know you're loving my transitions.
Yeah, your segues are pretty good. Almost as good as your whole conversation on the Canadian national anthem being your second favorite. Speaking of Patriots, we're going to move on here. One of the matches I wanted to discuss was the Patriot taking on my guy, Big Van Vader. Not a not a great match. It's about 5 minutes here. Vader's going to get a couple splashes on him. Vader bomb's going to hit the knees, though. Vader shuts him down one more time. But then Patriot actually gets him up for the Uncle Slam for the win. You got Patriot going over my boy Vader. Clean.
Yeah, let's go. My guy, Del Wilkes, dude. Let's go.
Listen to you. It's a ridiculous upset, I got to say. The match is not very good, but it's still, you know, it's probably all Vader could do at that time, to be honest with you. But Vader's about to get a couple pops here because Vader's going to tap the Patriot, going to hit him with a Vader bomb, but then Brett's going to lay the Canadian flag over Patriot to add an insult to injury. And say what you will about Vader, but he loves him some America. Vader takes the flag off Patriot and breaks the pole over his knee. And we get a huge pop. So Vader would rather insult Canada and Bret Hart than hurt the Patriot. Well, now Bret and Vader are beating the hell out of each other. Owen Hart and Davey Boy is going to come down to help their brother. Patriot, refs, agents, everyone's trying to calm things down. It's just a chaotic finish here.
It's a Donnybrook.
Pretty much, yeah. We're going to get a promo with Michael Cole. He's going to talk with WWF champion Bret Hart. Bret Hart's going to say the Patriot is nothing and ask for Vader anytime, any place, pal. Man of short words and thank the Dark Lord because I don't like to hear Bret Hart do a lot of promos. We're going to talk about a Stone Cold promo here where he's going to have a sit-down interview with Jim Ross from Philadelphia where he's going to meet with a spine specialist. We're really blurring that line between real and, I don't want to say fake, real and scripted because Stone Cold's actually injured, but they're really putting this on and still trying to get sympathy for Stone Cold. Is that because he's kind of the hottest thing in wrestling right now? And I mean, how much did this probably kill creative having your most white hot guy injured?
I mean, listen, these days you would have to take somebody off TV for an injury like this. I mean, they did it with Randy Orton. It's hard to explain. And, you know, if you look on the bright side, they are doing what they can to keep him relevant because they don't know the true severity of this injury, right? Mm-hmm. So I think they did a phenomenal job with the workaround, but it's the whole situation is unfortunate because the injury, not only did it screw up where the storyline was headed, not only did it screw up the trajectory of Stone Cold Steve Austin's career. Not only did it screw up just the finish of the match at SummerSlam, it screwed up a lot of stuff. I mean, imagine now if Roman Reigns, imagine if Roman Reigns is in a main event today.
Yeah.
I'm putting him with Jimmy Uso. Let's say you put him with Jimmy Uso and Roman steps down wrong to the outside of the ring, or he steps down wrong getting into the ring and blows a quad or breaks an ankle. Do you call the match and just say it's due to injury, Roman can't continue? This is for the title. Jimmy Uso's your new champion? Like,
you do the same. I mean, you can call audible just like Austin did with Owen, and Austin still got the win.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of guys who have got the win with terrible injuries, you know, Cody and Seth.
I'm with you. Cody's torn pec was ridiculous.
Finn Balor and Rollins again. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Listen, I liked this interview. I liked what they were doing. I love blurring the lines between shoot and work. And yeah. this is really well done. I mean, we talked about Jim Ross's ability to interview Mick Foley earlier in this series. So just really good stuff here. And kudos to Jim Ross for being able, not that he, you know, you would expect him not to be able to pull it off, but kudos to him for really, really going all in for these interviews / promos.
Well, I want to dig into it just a little bit because it's not really an interview. It's just basically Austin just venting. He's pissed that nobody from the WWF has called to see how he was. Instead, they just put him in a stupid little hotel room filled with pears, apples, and bananas. And he admits that he's getting dumped on his head was pretty scary. So Stone Cold Steve Austin saying that he's scared right there, I mean, that definitely humanizes the character of Stone Cold Steve Austin. He said he's probably watched the tape about 30 or 40 times. That got him a little depressed, so he drank a dozen cases of beer. Owen Hart has hell to pay, that's for sure. And as for the doctors, they tell him he should do something else from now on, but Austin says the decision is his. The only future he sees for him is being Stone Cold Steve Austin to get to the top of the WWF. Whether he has to turn over the tag team belts, he will be at ground zero. He was pissed off before. Now he's even more pissed now. And that's the bottom line. Now get the hell out of here, JR. It felt more like a shoot than a work. And he looked like he was about to break up a lot of times in the interview, if you go back and watch it. And I think that's a really good indication. I think it's a shoot, him saying that nobody checked on him. Nobody, as in
Owen Hart.
So, yeah, I was gonna ask you, like, because, you know, he mentioned Owen Hart's got hell to pay. Like, how hard do you think it was for Stone Cold Steve Austin, given, again, the fact that Owen didn't check on him, the fact that he was dealing with a legitimate injury? How hard do you think was it for him to continue to sort of, again, we talked about it, this, you know, feeling like a shoot, but working with Owen Hart after this, after, you know, he had already fought with doing the tombstone that way, and the fact that Owen hadn't called him this, that, and the other, like, how hard do you think it was for Stone Cold to continue to, like, work with Owen after this?
Stone Cold's a businessman. He's going to do, you know, he's going to do what's best for business, unless you ask him to lose to Brock Lesnar in the King of the Ring tournament. But,
without buildup, I don't blame him.
I don't think tournament matches need buildup, because it's just a who wins against who and you move on. I disagree with that. Now, if it was just a pay-per-view match with, you know, Lesnar and Austin in a grudge match or whatever, then I would see it. But tournament matches, to me,
you at least got Hogan Goldberg with 3 days' notice coming off of WCW Thunder. There was no buildup for. They were just going to throw it on the card.
Yeah, but it was for a tournament. So to me, you know, you have all these names in a tournament, and it doesn't need the buildup. Is seeing that, oh man, they're, you know, that's the thing.
Here's a bigger question, PJ. Stone Cold Steve Austin is a multi-time world champion at this point. He's won the Royal Rumble a couple times, maybe three times at this point. He is arguably one of your top two stars. Not arguably. He is one of the top two stars in your company. Why the hell are you throwing him in a King of the Ring qualifying match with Brock Lesnar? He doesn't belong in the tournament.
Because the King of the Ring meant something back then. I do think that.
I don't think it did. I think it had already lost its meaning. When Billy Gunn won the tournament and nothing came out of it, that was what ended the luster of the King of the Ring.
Billy Gunn at least got a title shot from the King of the Ring.
Did he get a title shot from it?
Yeah, he got a decent singles run that happened. He just couldn't capitalize because of his asthma. He got a title shot. Now, you know, guys, like, you know, I at some point, the King of the Ring did not mean anything. But at the time, I think the King of the Ring started meaning something again when King Booker won.
So here's the deal. And we could probably do a whole episode on King of the Ring, and I don't want to spend too much time because we still got a good bit to get to.
Yeah.
I think for a while, the King of the Ring made some guys. Like, Owen Hart was the King of Hearts, King of the Ring. Bret Hart was King of the Ring. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Austin 316 was born from the King of the Ring. Triple H's King of the Ring the next year helped propel him to that next level where he could be the Intercontinental Champion, stuff like that. It's very well documented. He was supposed to win the King of the Ring the year the Stone Cold did, until the curtain call happened.
Yeah.
Eventually, the King of the Ring stopped making guys, and the guys started making the King of the Ring. So you had King Booker was the first one that I can remember that you just mentioned that sort of gave that King Booker a feeling. He took the gimmick and ran with it and did a phenomenal job with Queen Charmelle. Mm-hmm. You look at King Sheamus. He had his own Celtic crown, and he really sort of delved into it a little bit. I don't think, did Wade Barrett win King? Yeah, because you had King Barrett too. So that's another one you could argue that didn't do much with it. But King Nakamura,
when he had when he had the crown, and he came as, you know, you're gonna put Nakamura in a few gimmicks, but King Austin Creed, Xavier Woods, was a phenomenal King of the Ring, and you know, he wasn't, they you know, they've got world champions with Big E and Kofi, so they had to put something on him, and until injuries and stuff sort of sidelined that, he had his own gimmick, he had his own music. And despite being a part of the New Day, that he sort of was making that King of the Ring something, for, you know, something into something, instead of the King of the Ring tournament making him. So we could do a whole show about the King of the Ring, but to say that that the King of the Ring still meant something when Stone Cold left the company, because he refused to lose in a qualifying match on Monday Night Raw without, you know, any sort of buildup, is it was a spot that he didn't need to be in. I don't care if the tournament meant something at the point, Stone Cold isn't a guy that you need to have in there.
Okay, so two things. One, Edge was the first one that made the King of the Ring like a character, because he was coming out with the King of the Ring trophy. Two, what if I were to tell you that tournament, that King of the Ring tournament in 2003 that Stone Cold left, the winner got the WWE Undisputed Champion? Does that change your mind that Stone Cold should have been in it? Because that's what happened.
He became the King of the Ring, became the Undisputed
yes.
Champion?
Brock Lesnar defeated Rob Van Dam to become the WWE Undisputed Champion at 5 minutes and 36 seconds. So the winner of the King of the Ring
became champion. It wasn't just King of the Ring.
Became,
he was the world
became
champion.
Yes. Does that change your mind? Because it should.
Did it? Yeah, it changes my mind. But did we know that was going to happen at the beginning of the tournament?
I can't answer that. I mean, I can go back and like look at storylines, but like
let's get back to 97. We'll revisit this another time.
Yes,
this is a phenomenal conversation
we're
gonna have.
It is, and it does say that that's what was gonna happen, because it was the brand extension kind of BS thing that was happening at the time.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Mind changed. Let's move back to WWF 97, because there's a lot of fun stuff to get to before we sign off on this episode.
Well, my mind would not be changed at this main event here, is we have Shawn Michaels and Hunter Hearst Helmsley taking on The Undertaker and Mankind. Wow, what a tag team match. Earlier in the night, we had a promo with Mankind in the Boiler Room, where he talked about, it's a really cool promo, he can't believe that the WWF would put Undertaker and him together in a tag team. Will Mankind be Taker's most loyal partner ever, or will he be the final nail in the coffin for Undertaker? We'll find out soon. Have a nice day.
Great writing, Vince Russo.
So I want to talk to you real quick. So it's almost like Dude Love and Mankind are two different people, because Dude Love loves being a tag team with Stone Cold. That's his buddy. Mankind's in a tag team with The Undertaker, and he doesn't understand it. And it's almost like Dude Love could have walked past him and just been like, "Ooh, daddy, I've been in a tag team too, man." You know, and you would have just kind of been like, "Yeah, those are two separate people." They're doing such, and it's all credit to Mick Foley. He's doing such a great job separating these two identities that you're almost like, "Yeah, that's two different people on the roster." It's crazy to me. Anyway, this is the first tag team meeting of what we know now as DX. This is the first time Shawn Michaels and Hunter Hearst Helmsley actually team up. And actually, this is the only teaming of Undertaker and Mankind. That took a lot of time for me to find out if that was true. And it's
really?
Yeah, it's the first and only time that Mankind and Undertaker team up.
This was the only time in the history.
In the history, yeah. And I had to look that up. And I was like, I don't think that's right. And it's totally right.
That's a really fun fact.
Yeah. So the match is okay. We get Sean is going to signal for his insurance policy to come down. Helmsley's going to file down into a mandible claw. Luckily for him, China's there to trip up Mankind. She's going to pull his nuts to the ring post in a very dramatic way. Mankind's going to catch Sweet Chin Music, but he's going to spin him. He's going to catch the leg for Sweet Chin Music, going to spin him around for a mandible claw. We're going to get a hot tag to The Undertaker, who's just going to beat the hell out of Helmsley, trying to get to Sean. Rude's going to come over and threatens to nail Sean with a chair. Taker lets go of Sean, turns around to stalk Rude into the ring. Helmsley gets in the way and receives a choke slam for his measure. And meanwhile, Sean has that chair and whacks Taker over the head for a DQ finish. Taker's busted wide open. Sean's going to give him another chair shot. And just when DX think they have him down, what's going to happen? Taker's going to set up and scare him away. So that's how we end this Monday Night Raw. And it's actually technically the go-home edition Raw before Ground Zero, because Vince is going to promise the outcome at Ground Zero, they'll be hell to pay. But due to the U.S. Open, this is, like I said, the last Raw in August. So there'll be two Friday night main event episodes before Ground Zero. We're going to kind of skip over those. Nothing really extravagant happened. It was basically just to get wrestlers on TV to get them some TV time. We're going to skip to Ground Zero.
Hold on. Hold on. I know that there's a lot of Ground Zero, but didn't you, when we talked about this off the air, can you at least read to me who the main event was on that second?
Oh my God. Show? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay,
we need to talk about the fact you're right. That there was nobody on these shows.
We talked about how there's literally nothing going on in these Friday night main events. And the, the opening match on the first one in Chicago is the champion Bret Hart taking on Big Van Vader in 4 minutes and 36 seconds. That's your opening match. The main event of this match, this Friday night main event, is Sniper and Recon versus the Headbangers. What?
Who is Sniper and who is Recon?
One of them is Bull Buchanan.
Oh, fantastic!
And the other one, one of them is Bull Buchanan, and I can't remember the other one. If I'm being honest,
that's sort of the point, right? Like you had Bret Hart and Vader opening the show. And it closing with the Headbangers taking on Total Recall or whatever you called them. What an interesting time to be alive.
The next one is the Patriot and Owen Hart. That's the opening match. We get a DQ finish. But the main event is the Interrogator taking on Sonny Rogers and Jerry Fox. The Interrogator is Kurgan, by the way, who's later going to be in the Oddities.
Hey, what was the other team? What were they called?
Sonny Rogers and Jerry Fox.
Hey, what's your favorite Jerry Fox match?
I think he had a country whipping match with Scott Putsy back in the day.
Who in the F is Jerry Fox?
You know who Jerry Fox? That's John Layfield.
That's not John Layfield.
Yes, it is.
Jerry Fox is not JBL.
Yes, it is.
I don't buy it.
I don't care what you buy. No, it's not him.
I legit started to look and I was like, dude, are you losing your vision with your?
No, that's not him. He did do some some Shotgun Saturday Nights. He didn't do a whole lot. He was just
there's not even a Wikipedia page for Jerry Fox, and he main evented a show heading into Ground Zero. That's insane to me.
Well, now we're going to talk about Ground Zero because a lot of great stuff happens at WWF Ground Zero, including the first matchup between The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, which, of course, is your main event. Actually, I don't think that's your main event. Oh, yeah, I think that is your main event, because also, the Patriot is going to be taking on Bret Hart for the WWF World Champion. So let's get to Ground Zero here. We're going to kick off with Brian Pillman taking on Goldust. And since Pillman won, he will get Marlena for 30 days. And if Goldust won, Pillman would have to lead the WWF. Brian Pillman's going to defeat Goldust in 11 minutes and 6 seconds. We're going to get a lot of vignettes after this with in bed with Pillman, if you will, with Brian Pillman being very uncomfortable with Marlena. It's actually kind of uncomfortable to watch because she's kind of crying while he's like kissing her and shit. It's kind of rough to watch. Like,
How do you think his wife appreciated this?
Oh, she was probably down for whatever.
It's sort of like making DDP the Undertaker's wife stalker. Like it just doesn't. It's not a good look.
Yeah, after the match, Pillman's gonna grab Marlena, escort her towards the locker room. Jerry Lawler's gonna get up from his chair and walk over to the ring to retrieve Marlena's purse, which had a brick inside. That's how we get the win there. Goldust is going to make his way backstage, and Pillman is going to see shoving Marlena in a car and speeding off before Goldust can reach him. We just saw someone kidnap someone's wife on WWF TV, WWF pay-per-view. Brian Christopher is going to defeat Scott Putski by a countout in 4 minutes. Savio Vega is going to defeat Farooq and Crush in a triple threat match. I'm glad they kind of got some shine in there for Savio Vega. And the match wasn't that bad either. I kind of enjoyed it, if I'm being honest. Vega appeared behind Crush, delivered a spinning heel kick at the side of the head. Farooq was still suffering from effects of the punch that Crush gave him, the heart punch, and then Vega was able to cover. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, that's sort of capped. I mean, to me, that should have finalized the feud between the DOA, the Nation, and the Los Boricuas. Like, that should have been it. Like, you've got the three leaders going at it.
They still had things to I'm with the rivalry. I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. That should have been it, in my opinion. So.
I dig the game war mentality when there's brawls and all that, but if I was gonna book these in a three way match, I would have made it like a street fight or something.
Yeah,
like these are street games. Why wouldn't it have been like a street fight? Anyway, El Torito is gonna take on Max Mini. That sure was a match, and for some reason it went 10 minutes.
How did that match go 10 minutes?
That's what I said. Like, that match should have been cut in half like their height. I'm telling you.
You went there. You went there.
I know. I'd do it again, too, if I had the chance. Jim Ross is going to introduce Commissioner Slaughter to the ring, and it's time for Stone Cold and Dude Love to turn over their WWF tag belts. Dude Love is going to come out first. He plays along and relinquishes his half next to Stone Cold, and the crowd is so hot for Stone Cold. And as soon as he steps through the curtain, the sound just goes insane. He's going to berate Slaughter. He's going to threaten Slaughter. Then he's going to throw the belt down at his feet. Why don't you drop down and give me 20, jackass? I want to say that one more time. Stone Cold's going to throw the tag belt to Slaughter's feet and say, why don't you drop and give me 20, jackass? Amazing. Great. Amazing. Job.
Fantastic.
Slaughter's going to grab the belts and leave. Ross is going to wish Austin could compete tonight, but he wouldn't want to see Austin risk permanent paralysis. Dude Love puts his arm on Austin's shoulder, wishing Austin the same positive vibes. Ross is going to tell Austin he hopes that he's back 100% very soon, and then Austin's going to drop Ross with a Stone Cold Stunner, and the crowd loses their mind. Agents and refs going to look after Ross. Dude Love tries to keep Austin back. It doesn't matter because Austin's just going to go nuts. Slaughter's going to return to restore order. And on his way out, Stone Cold's going to flip the double bird and walk out as his own terms as the audience is just cheering his name. You have someone so white hot here. It's insane.
Especially considering like he's legit injured.
Yeah.
We don't know. Yeah. I mean, at that point, they didn't think it was going to be like, no, like they knew he needed rest.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're able to keep a guy who should not be active and keep him not only relevant, but keep him just on fire like he was. Like, I mean, it was something unlike anything I've ever seen before at that point. It was, I mean, Stone Cold was a star, and it was fantastic to watch growing up.
Well, you know, I mean, I love the build up here because look at it. He just stunned Ross. Next, we'll see him stun Slaughter. Then he'll start some other authority figures. And then you know what it's going to lead to? Madison Square Garden,
absolutely.
He's going to stun Vince McMahon. Let's talk about the next match. When you talk about having no build up whatsoever, that's this match, a fatal four-way tag team elimination match for the vacant WWF tag team champions. Owen Hart and Davey Boy taking on the Godwins, taking on the Legion of Doom and the Headbangers. This is elimination. I just want to say this match is fantastic, by the way. It goes about 18 minutes. It is insane. And your last two teams are Owen and Davey Boy taking on the Headbangers. That is your last team here. The former champs just beat up on poor Thrasher. He tries to make a desperation crucifix on Bulldog, but it doesn't work out. We get a hot tag to Mosh. Owen nails Davey Boy by mistake with a spinning heel kick, and Owen and Davey thwart the attempt to stage dive just as Owen looks for the sharpshooter. And here comes Stone Cold right past the ref. Drops Owen with a Stone Cold Stunner. The crowd goes nuts. And Mosh is going to jump on Owen for the win. Ladies and gentlemen, your new tag team champions, are the Headbangers, and they celebrate in the crowd. And it was a great finish, actually, and it was super fun. Like, the crowd was really popped for that win for no reason. I mean,
listen, the Headbangers were hot. Matter of fact, the first famous person I ever interacted with on Twitter was Thrasher of the Headbangers. Glenn, I can't think of his last name, but they were goofy. They came out in skirts, not kilts. They called them skirts. And so they wanted to put the titles on baby faces, and so that's what they were going to do. I was not unhappy with this at all.
Well, one of my first experiences with the Headbangers was WWF Warzone, and if you were to play as one of the Headbangers, JR says, "Real man wears skirts." Well, if he says so, and I always thought that was super funny. So let's get to your match before your main event here. WWF Champion Bret Hart is going to take on the Patriot. This is a really great match. It goes about 20 minutes here. We're going to get to a little bit of the finish here. Bret Hart's going to try and get a quick win towards the end over the Patriot with an O'Connor roll and then an inside cradle. Patriot seems one step ahead. Patriot levels Bret Hart with a chest first bump, and then he's going to apply the sharpshooter. You heard me. Patriot has the sharpshooter on Bret Hart.
Let's go.
Dale Welks, no one can put the Bret. No one can put Bret in the sharpshooter and win the match. Except Shawn Michaels, but that comes later. Bret's going to power out, and he's going to reverse the hold. He's going to get Patriot the sharpshooter, and Patriot's going to tap out. The match was slow to get started, but great match here. Like I said, 20 minutes. Bret Hart had a good match with pretty much anyone at this time, and the Patriot was no exception to the rule. After receiving an easily this is near when your boy Del Welks is going to have a torn tricep. But anyway, he's going to choke Patriot with the American flag into the WWF agents and referees clear out from the ring. The crowd's going to chant Austin, but we don't get Austin. Anyway, great match. Let's move on to the main event of Ground Zero. Shawn Michaels taking on The Undertaker. This is all about revenge on The Undertaker's point. Crazy bumping from Shawn Michaels. He's trying to separate himself from the dead man. Shawn's going to catch Taker with a swinging net breaker. He's going to run at Taker and then just have a big boot that's going to block his chair shot. I mean, we're getting a lot of preliminary stuff that we're going to see later on in their Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood. Great stuff. Anyway, Taker has the chair. Earl Hebner is going to take the chair away from him, only for the chair to get kicked right in the face. Shawn Michaels lands a couple of flying elbows. Hebner is slow, count two. Shawn's going to get tossed on top here. Here comes Rick Rude to toss Shawn some brass knuckles. Taker gets nailed, but there's no ref, of course. Here comes old referee Jack. You remember Jack Dome?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
We get a 1-2 and a kick out. HBK decks the ref because he didn't count three. Here comes Hunter Hearst Helmsley in China. Shawn's going to kick Taker for Triple H in China to whip out knees first to the steps. We get a lot of gaga here. Taker's going to take out Shawn Michaels, and he's going to go after China. Shawn's going to go back after him. Hunter gets nailed with the chair. Here comes Hebner. 1-2. Nope. We get a choke slam to poor Earl Hebner. I mean, we just got ref bumps going on. This is the fourth one. It's getting ridiculously out of hand for a main event. Taker's going to nail HBK with a jumping lariat. Tim White runs down, decided to just throw the whole match. The crowd is booing here. We get a no contest finish for for Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. It's not the finish it should have been, but I know why they did it, because we can't get them over just yet. We got to get there. China gives Michaels a chair. He's going to go and nail Taker, but he brings him the boot again and kicks the chair back in his face. Taker's going to tombstone Helmsley, and a bunch of mid-carders run down to try and separate Shawn and Taker for some reason. Probably Jerry Fox was in that little mid-card place. Tigger's going to break loose, and he's just going to pile on these guys, man, on top of him, some other mid-car guys. He only pulls that one out for special occasions where he jumps over the rope there. You got to love that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not perfect, but, you know, it was a good match, and it's setting up some really great stuff. And I did put in my final thoughts that Taker and Shawn are incapable of having a bad match, even in 1997. Ground Zero was a great pay-per-view. Of course, I didn't go through everything, but I went over the high points as I usually do. You know, we always run low on time here. But let's recap here. So Headbangers is your new tag team champions, which is, you know, fun, which I didn't expect. So I do got to say I really did enjoy that. I
loved it, yeah.
Those are your boys. Should Patriot have gotten the win here?
Hindsight being 2020, it makes sense that he didn't win it. But as a fan, I would have liked to have seen it.
You would have liked to seen that?
Yeah, I would have popped for a Del Wilkes world title run, even if he loses the title the next night on Raw. I would have liked to have seen him a one-time WWE champion, but I understand why they didn't do it.
Well, guys, that was Ground Zero. Guys, I know I say this every single time, and I'm sure you're sick of hearing it, but we are just getting – I mean, this is so much meat that we're getting here in 1997. After Ground Zero, we're going to cut right into September, where we're going to see Austin relinquish his Intercontinental Champion. We'll talk about the tournament that happens later on. We'll talk about – speaking of UK pay-per-views, we'll talk about One Night Only coming up August 20th. And, of course, the biggest – one of the best Raws of all time in Madison Square Garden. We'll get a special debut against Triple H, and we'll get a famous finishing move to old Vince McMahon that we just mentioned here. And it's the go-home edition before Bad Blood, which we'll see, of course, Shawn Michaels and Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match, the very first Hell in a Cell match, and we'll get another special debut there. A lot of things to talk about on the next episode, part 7 of my little time machine here, but this has been a blast. I love it every single time. I will never stop loving it. I love talking about this era of pro wrestling. I really do.
Yeah, listen, this was sort of our golden era, right? I mean, you've got fun stuff, you know, with a schizophrenic Mick Foley. I think we sort of saw that out of Bray Wyatt and The Fiend. I think it's the closest that you can really get to that sort of comparison in modern day wrestling.
Yeah,
you're starting to see the formation of Degeneration X, right? You've got the Shawn Michaels and Triple H teaming up for the first time against Taker and Mankind. Rick Rude's around. China's there. So you're starting to sort of see that go into a certain direction when you talk about, you know, building a story. So you start to see that. You're getting all the little things with the Hart Foundation, and they're trying something with Brian Pillman here that not to spoil anything, but if you're a wrestling, I consider myself a historian like I am. You sort of know what's coming for Brian Pillman later this year. So, there's a lot of fun stuff. And again, Commissioner Slaughter to me was a big deal because, like, I vaguely remember Gorilla Monsoon in that position. So having Sergeant Slaughter come out as this authority figure, and again, as a kid, I didn't see him wrestle as this American hero turned Iraqi support sympathizer turned back to American hero. A lot of really good fun stuff here. And like you mentioned, Paul Bearer said Kane is coming. We're building to that. So just so much really good storytelling. And outside of your old country beatdown match, whatever it was called, that Vince Russo put together, a lot of good stuff with a lot of good talent here. And again, Stone Cold being Stone Cold Steve Austin at this time, being red hot is what turned me over to watching WWE with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I wanted to say one more thing before we just sign off here. The One Night Only pay-per-view that we're going to talk about the next show. Not only, I just want to go over the card real quick with you guys just to give you guys a little bit of hype. Triple H taking on Dude Love. We get Headbangers and Los Buicas in a tag team match. The Patriot versus Flash Funk. Last pay-per-view, he's going against WWF champion Bret Hart. Now he's at the Flash Funk. Isn't that fun? Poor Del Wells.
I mean, listen, he had tag team experience with him when he was Too Cold Scorpio. when the Patriot was teaming with Marcus Bagwell. So.
That's very true. That's I agree with that. And it was a good match, too. It was a good match. Legion of Doom is going to take on the Godwins. Vader versus Owen Hart. What a great match there. WWF Champion Bret Hart is going to take on The Undertaker. That, and then, of course, the main event is one of my favorite UK matches that we talked about in our all-in pay-per-view and our curtain call. Davey Boy Smith taking on Shawn Michaels for the European title. One Not Only is a great pay-per-view. I cannot wait to get to it. But until then, guys, we are out of time, and I'm sure Frick is waiting for me to stop talking so that he can sign us off. So take it away, Frick. You've been great with the segues all day today. Why stop now?
Listen, first of all, I appreciate all the time and effort you're putting into these Time Machine episodes. This is fantastic listens, fantastic being able to go back in time and reminisce what was such a good, fun time in professional wrestling. And if you're listening to this podcast and you want to prepare yourselves for our next edition of the Time Machine, WWF 1997, go out and watch One Night Only. Watch that show so that you can sort of be refreshed on it and hear what we have to say about that and other things coming from WWF 1997. But PJ Steven alluded to it. We are up against it and we are out of time. So make sure you pay attention to anything else that we're doing on Tobacco Road or Tobacco Road. Listen to me. I'm going to have to edit that too. Make sure you're paying attention to everything else that we're doing over here at Tap Outs and Touchdowns, be it more wrestling shows with PJ Steven and myself, or the football episodes with Banker Bill and myself. Lots of fun content coming. We are deep into football season, more than likely by the time this episode airs. So a lot of fun stuff we've got coming for you. For PJ Steven, it's your guy, Bully Rye, for Tap Outs and Touchdowns. We'll see you next week.